You say Milt Perkins would wheeze when he...
Yeah, he'd go, ah, he's a wheeze. He'd go, ah. People just tickle it in through him, play. He'd do it on purpose. He just kind of a clown. Uh-huh. But he could play the fiddle.
And he was a former slave, too.
Yeah,
he you was know some... who had him?
No, that was nothing. Some Perkins got a hold of him and didn't get him paid for it. And when they freed him, he was here. Uh-huh. He's been all around this country here for years. And if I ain't badly mistaken, he's buried right there in that graveyard.
Over here?
Right there.
Who's that?
Milt Perkins. He's buried right there in that graveyard.
I don't
think. Well, why ask Jake? He lives right there. He knows about it.
He knows.
Yeah, I'll tell him that. He'd know he lived though. He's pretty as old as I am, Jake.
Is there any colored people living in Burnsville now?
I think there's a few families, two or three up in the trailer park.
Might be some up on the trailer.
Yeah.
I see one or two around sometimes, so the band lives here someplace, I reckon. I don't know for sure, but generally always has been a family or two up there.
What kind of, did Milt Perkins, did he follow any kind of work?
Yeah, he worked for farming.
These fellows, both of those fellows, they didn't have their own place.
They
just
had nothing.
Just worked for other people.
They just worked and stayed with other people. George Morphin over there was Joe Bonnet. He was a big colored guy. He lived right by Grandma Yellow Ann's sister. I said, my Yellow Ann Johnson did my grandma. Well, his sister lived on Long Run, and Joe Bonnet lived right above, right close together. And he got disabled over there. Last time I seen George, he had on a pair of AA cutters. I don't think you ever seen a four piece on the outside of them. And he come hobbling out to the road to talk to me. I was going down Long Run. That was way before I was married. See, I've been married 64 years, and that was before I was married.
Was there a lot of colored people on Long Run?
Yeah, there was. There were several on Long Run. And Johnson's and the and Morton, Pete, Bill, and what we call Cube, they was all on Long Run. Long Run used to be full of Dorothy. But you couldn't go anywhere to be feed bed.
Yeah.
They used to come to my house and I'd make gun sights for them. I used to make gun sights.
Yeah?
You ever see a homemade gun sight? I'll show you one, Dick. I've got some in there. And take these back to size and take a leaf, put a leaf on behind them, put a notch in them. Carl got one over there, at 27-inch barrel. I got it just after I was married. It's been in the family over 60 years. Carl got it, made a spec in, and just looked good day, bought it. The only way you can shoot it is to snap it. You can take a hammer and pound on the hammer, you can't knock it off.
Uh-huh.
It's what's called a rebinding foreign pin. When the hammer hits the foreign pin, it jumps up and hits. He got two or three guns, but that one is spaceless.
Now, over, you were born in 1901.
Yeah.
What was it like when you were coming up back in them days? What was living like then?
Well, you just lived from hand to mouth. What you got, you raised. You didn't get no money to buy nothing with. There wasn't nothing to buy. Now salt, and baking powders, and soda, and sugar. That's about the only thing you buy, and pepper, stuff like that. But when you raise your bread. And raised all your stuff that you can, beans, and canned corn, canned beans, and raise your taters. And then you bury the taters in the hole and cover them up with dirt. You never seen that done, did you?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, we raised our living. Mm-hmm. And my mother would pickle beans, and then she'd pickle kraut. Yeah, and I'd give a dollar bill for one half a pint of them right now, like she used to pickle. I'd get $10 for a gallon of pickled beans like she made. Now boys, I'm telling you, you could eat them. But I don't know And she could make the cornbread that I'd gotta have a sweet bread. Oh my God, man, if she could bake cornbread anybody. Well, my wife, remember, we stayed there a while. She'd bake bread. We had plenty to eat. It was good.
How about if anybody got sick? Did they make home remedies too?
Yeah. Well, Grandma was a doctor.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, she'd make medicine. And she could stop blood.
How?
You'd get this, I don't know, but through the Bible somewhere. When they cut your big toe off, of course, like that, hit down the double of the axe, his toe just dropped down. And as soon as he done it, my mother's only about a half mile from where we lived, down where Grandma lived up on Bragg Run. She said, run down and tell Grandma. And we went down and told her. Of course, she knew the names of all of us. And when we got back home, my mother was, boy, he's told his wife to be. Well, I was cut, she says, wife, you wouldn't believe that, would you?
What did she do?
She just came over to work in the Bible.
You don't know what the verse is.
Yes, I do.
A man can't tell a man, or a woman can't tell a woman. Mm-hmm. So they say, I don't know. There's many things.
Yes, I remember this well for yesterday. She kept on. We learned it. Mm-hmm. Two or three of us boys, she made us learn it. She said, now that's foolishness. But she said, if you have faith, it won't be. So, it's in the book of John. Mm-hmm. Oh, she stopped blood. My oldest brother was clearing the woods out, and there's a big log, he stuck his axe in the log. Went to step over the log and just put his leg right up through there. And boy, you talking about bleeding. My dad put strings around his leg to hold it, and we run about a mile and a half from where we cut his leg to where Grandma lived. And we come down to Grandma and told him, went back. See, Grandma raised Lloyd, the oldest one. He stayed with her. And we went back, and when we got back, they said, where's his leg? Just wasn't a bit of blood. You wouldn't believe that. He wasn't a bit of blood on it, but by the gap it opened as big as your hand. Why, if we cut them through it. Do you know how my mother fixed it? Took a needle and thread and sewed it up. Yes, tied the thread together just like he would. Sewed his leg up. And you wouldn't believe it, his leg got welded, this little red streak there. Huh. Yes,
there
wasn't.
Me up, not asleep. No, no, he was not numb.
He just laid there and put that needle through up. Hiding and put it through the other side, pull it up and tighten the knot, and the other.
That healed up okay.
Oh, just as pretty as you ever seen. She showed when his toe back on. That's the only way my sister Dobie knowed him when we were in his hospital. They butchered him up, his face fell up, his nose fell back in there. His teeth came out and his nose was down.
Robert, it was that there. Breathing apparatus they had
they
on,
put on him.
He didn't breathe, only when that machine did.
Lloyd, they called it a no-dog, she said, I don't believe that's wind in. Riddle Grater and pull the cover up on his foot. She said, yeah, that's wind in. He's out in the hospital, West Munda.
Why, yeah.
Yeah, that's hospital medicine.
That old doctor he's got
is
mine. I think I'd knock him in the head. The old doctor he had.
Dr. Lively.
Lively.
He, Noy Wilson's a friend of mine. He lives up something on the hill. And he married a staff girl, Alma Staff. And he got something wrong with his leg. And he started up here and cut that artery out through down to his ankle. They've got the picture, they took the picture of it just in that so you can see it. And he said, I can't do no more, just left. Mm. Yes, he did, he done that. Mm. And there he was, that artery out of his leg. And his leg cut open, there clear down. And they, the doctor's laid him out. He thought he was going to die. And Alma had to go get something. She left. They stretched him out for dead and put a sheet over it. When she come back...
That was his wife.
His wife, Alma. When she come back, she wasn't going just as jiffy. He come back and the doctors laid him out at first. She run jerked the cover off of him. And she said, "My husband not dead." "Yes, he is." Said, "No, he ain't." Said, "I know he ain't dead." She got to shaking him and said he was... "This is Lemmer," said, "he's right, and this was warm." Said, "She knew he wasn't dead. He just passed out. And they give him up. Of course, he would have died if he hadn't bothered him." And she got to shaking him around. And directly he kind of moved. The doctor said, "I believe there's some life about him." And he went to work on him, brought him to. He's living yet. Lived up there on the hill. Suddenly he was up on the hill. He lived up in the trailer. He's a great sportsman. He runs around with a man named Harris. down here in Castaway. Uh-huh. Owns a big garage down there and takes his front end of the car.
Your grandmother could stop blood. Could she do anything else to heal? You ever know anybody could take warts off or anything?
Yeah, my dad could do that.
How?
I don't know.
I tell you how they tell me to take them off. Go to some of your people that's got a dirty dish rag when they wash the dishes, and take that dish rag and wipe it over every wart you got, and take it out where the water drips off the house and bury that rag, and said when it rots, the warts will leave. Now, I don't know whether it's so or not. Okay. And I've heard them say to rub a grain of corn over every wart you got and feed it to a chicken and they'll leave. I never know to anybody who's trying it, but that's what they're saying.
Lloyd's oldest boy, his name Junior, he lives up at Orlando. He can take a dogwood stick somewhere, and he can take the warts goes off. He picked that dogwood stick and rub around with them warts. I don't know why he does the stick anymore. I used to know, but I can't remember how he done it. He's getting up in years. He ain't able to get around it, is he?
Who's that?
Lloyd's boy, my oldest brother's boy. What's Junior.
Junior
Blake.
Where's he live?
Up to Orlando. Do you know where Orlando is?
Yeah.
When you go up the road, goes off the hill and then turns to your left. You remember that?
Yeah.
You're going across that bridge and go up a little road there. You live right inside that bend there. Uh-huh. Begin the hill.
I'd have to see that before I leave Junior to take them off.
Well, he takes them off.
I never noticed anybody he ever did.
Well, now, Hobart, did you have many people play music would come to your house? Did you have a lot of people do that?
Yeah.
Not too much. You mean to your dad?
No.
To his dad's house
or
to his house?
Yeah. Daniel and used to come to our place and play.
Uh-huh. Never was very many people ever come to our house and play music.
Oh, not our house, our home up there.
Yeah. Did you ever have dances at your house?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
It used to be just in a little bit, they'd jump out and take the beds out of the room and be a dancing just in a little bit.
Yeah.
Had lots of dances up there. But
they
no wonder.
They didn't have to get anybody in to dance. There was plenty right there inside of the house. They'd just tell them they're going to have a dance, and they'd just come down there and dance. They got tired and put the furniture back in the home.
Was you up on Bragg Run?
Yeah.
Well, there's a holler comes in here and one in here. There's a great wide place in here. Well, up in this holler a bunch lived, and right up there a bunch lived, and on up further a bunch lived. And right down below us lived a bunch, all in the holler distance. And on the dance, it's about them hooting there. Where's the, you know that?
Who'd play the music?
My dad and Denzel Blake and
Denver.
Bob Wines used to come in and play.
That's Melvin's father?
No, it's Melvin's uncle. Bob is, he's Bob Wines' boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's Bob's boy. Bob.
Was he pretty good?
Who, Bob Wines?
On the fiddle?
Oh, I'd tell a man he could play.
Yeah.
He showed me a whole lot on the guitar left, learned to play.
Yeah.
All they know is Spanish. He didn't have no, there wasn't nobody tuning guitar and see. See, now it's like this place is old Spanish. I used to tune it up with a banjo chord. As Allen boy learned me how to do that. Uh-huh. Boy, you can play out there after that fiddle of that, and it sounds real good. Uh-huh. Not like you do a banjo. Mm-hmm. My God, it does sound good.
Well, would you use a pick or fingers?
Oh, just using a finger. Carl's got some records we made over there. You can tell how he can play it by listening to him.
You playing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sorry, I made it.
Now he's not got very many of them, I can
tell. Well, if I give them all away.
He only got one or two records. I'll bet you he ain't got over two records.
Are they tapes or records?
No, they were little old, there wasn't no tapes then.
Little old bitty records.
Them little old 6 and 8 inch records. Huh. See, these are 10 inches.
Yeah.
And they was little old 6 and 8 inches.
Who made them?
We recorded them.
They taped them up at Shays, didn't they?
Part of them over home. He had a bell system recorder that put a plate on and it had a threaded rod on it. You take that needle across and that's cut threads on the record.
Who had that?
Cecil Turner, man I lived on the place of his boy. He had that.
Is he still around?
No, he's around because that record something got wrong with it. And though he's a good one, he just plays as good as any record you could buy.
Now the man that owned that recording machine.
Yeah.
Who is he?
He was Cecil Turner.
Cecil Turner?
Cecil Turner.
And is he dead?
No, he's living yet, but...
Where is he?
He's in the high somewhere,
but he
I
took that...
He's in the
it
high
was a bell system, and something got wrong with it. And he took it back to the napkin, to the company he got off of, never did get it back.
So he made a lot of those records?
Oh my God, we made hundreds of them.
My Lord, I bet you couldn't find 10 of them now if you hunt all over the country.
Every time you make them, we
somebody take them, leave
somebody
them.
Take them. We made 8 or 10 up a series one night, and when we quit, we had one. So they just take them. And my sister came out to my high, and we recorded some. And she took them out there and played them, and she said that she couldn't make them leave. Her dad and brothers played them. You couldn't make them believe it. They wouldn't believe it. I said, that's too good a music for people to play out in the country. She said, but if you don't believe it, go down with me. I'll show you. And she said they wouldn't come down, but they come over to her house and play them. I wouldn't doubt she ain't got some of them records yet.
Who's that?
My sister, Myrtle.
Myrtle?
She lives in Carrollton. Carrollton, Ohio. She lives out there. Huh.
I doubt, by golly, is anyone anywhere to be found the way they've moved around and everything.
Well, Carl got some over there.
He ain't got but one or two records. That's all he ever did have.
Do they still sound okay? Or
just as good as he ever did.
I'd like to hear that.
I reckon they do. We've never heard
of them. I don't know, I ain't played them for years.
We've never seen them for years.
I suppose they play on that. I don't.
I doubt if
we had them put needles in the old wind up and we just played just as clear as a crystal.
Oh, yeah, they'd play on
that. We never tried it, but.
They say they won't play on these, them old
timers.
Really?
I don't know.
I've got a whole car, I give them the car, I didn't got any use for them. Great big, they're palm up by that high. Skillet liquors.
You do?
Yeah, and Uncle Joyce and the four. And the Three Crows. You remember hearing them Three Crows?
Yeah.
He got all four of them records over there. Huh. And he got Uncle Joyce. Cowboy Joe used to play his Uncle Joyce. He got them, they're all over there. And Gid Tannen and Raleigh Puck and them played.
Yeah.
They played just as good as they ever did.
The name of that record is Three Black Crows.
Yeah, that's the name of that. There's four records of it. Mm-hmm. I got him, and he's there over there.
Mm. They ain't nothing, only foolish.
Well, that's they don't play music, they just talk. Like Uncle Joyce records, they just talk. Mm. I've got a lot of good fiddle music here on these records, and on them tapes and on them plates, on them Good, really
did
good.
Back in the old days, did you ever go to hear any fiddle players that came through the country to play?
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you? Who did you hear play?
Well, it was the Williams. Yes, we came through and played.
Where did he play?
He came to our home and played.
Oh, yeah.
And then, there was a man. We used to go up in Lower Fork and play at the store. You know where Lower Fork is out there? There used to be a store there.
Yeah.
It's gone. But we used to go up there at night and play. And they'd come in from all over the country and play. Mm-hmm. One night there's some tall fella, he was some akin to Paul McCrane. His name was McCrane. He came in and sat there a little bit. There's a whole lot of playing. And after they quit playing, Paul gave him the fiddle. Paul owned the store, Paul McCrane. And he gave him the fiddle. I never did play up there. I'd go up there and listen to them. They never even knew I could play. And he had a Gibson guitar, Paul did. And he wanted $100 for it. And I finally reached around, got a hold of $100, and I went up there one night to get it. He sold it. He said, now, if you'd have told me you wanted that, I'd have left the leg there, you got it. And that's a good guitar he was putting the fingers on. It was a Gibson, it was light. But man, it was good. I don't know how many nights we've been up there. Zane, my son-in-law, him and his wife, we went up there one night, and Mom, we went up there, and he liked music.
Way back years ago, did you ever hear of a fiddle player? He was blind. They called him Blind Ed Haley.
No.
Never heard of him? I just didn't know if he ever come up in this country.
I never heard of him.
How about the one they called Uncle Jack McElwain?
He was up to Herbacon.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear him play?
I've been to his house.
You have?
Yes, I played Billy. Jack McElwain.
They say he's pretty good.
Oh, he old time stuff. Now he couldn't play none of this up to date stuff. Like Hell Among the Yearlings and Way Down Yonder stuff, he never heard telling like that. He just play all kind of old time pieces.
Most of them old time fiddlers just got a fiddle, just went to play, and they have nobody showing it up, I reckon.
There's a man lived over here on Long Run, name of Tom Allen. And I want to tell you, Mr. Man, if he was living today, they couldn't beat him. He could play. And he just played all kind of tunes. He could play for an hour or two and never play the same tune over. Just keep playing. Then they had a brother named Doy. Maybe you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you, he could play. I mean, Doy's played for dancers lots of nights. I didn't know where he'd play on this thing, but sounded as good as Steve Natural. I can't tell the difference in the sound of them. Only yes, you can walk on the strings playing the natural. But in Spanish, you just have to play straight.
What's the difference in the tune? What strings do you tune different for Spanish?
Well, I can't tell you, but I can show you if I had to get far. You know the three fingers on the three first strings? And then in C natural, you have to note one string right over from the other.
Yeah.
You can play in C natural.
Yeah.
That's seen in the, I can tune it up in minor D, and in E, and another minor chord, I forget what they call it. I can tune it up four different ways and play it.
Oh yeah?
I can tune minor D, you can play the Star Spangled Banner just as good as you can sing it. I used to play a whole lot, but after I got so, couldn't play then, we got record.
did you pick with your fingers? Or
yeah,
you pick?
Thumb picking with fingers.
Thumb picking.
Yeah, I could just pick any kind of double you want. Mm-hmm. Just walk the string both back and forth. Well, there's open records over there, you could hear them. Mm-hmm. They're real good. Boy, I'm telling you, Sarah used to play the fiddle better than she does now. My God, she used to play.
Did that old, Jack McElwain, did he ever come up in this country at all to play?
No, sure, I never did see him any further down in Herbacon.
Well, how'd you happen to go over there to see him?
I, Bud Sand and me run around. He played the banjo, and I played the guitar. We played together, and we just go everywhere. And they had a show up at Urbacon one time. A woman was raised up there with me. She married a Hank Mullen, and they had a show up there one night. There's a man that run the show, his name is Raymond Kreitz. He got us to go up and play for the show. And while we was up there, we just went on up to Urbacon, stayed up in there about a week. Just went from house to house and played music. Boy, we had a time. And we went to McElwain. He could play, boy, he could play that old-time music the best you ever heard. I don't believe any man in the world played the Arkansas Tower as good as he could. I learned to play the only guitar while I was up there with him. I could play this good as he could.
What about what year would that have been?
Long before I was married. I was about 18 years old when I was up in there.
About 1920 or something?
Yeah, somewhere along there. And he was an old like fella then. Mm-hmm. And now, boy, he'd play the fiddle for you. You didn't have to beg him. I mean, Bud up there one night, and I said, Uncle Jack, come up and play some music with you. That just suits me exactly. He said, we'll just do her. He got his old fiddle, tuned it up. I tuned the guitar up with him, played a little bit, and he said, sirs, I don't see how you can pick the strings like that. I said, well, just learn to, Uncle Jack.
What did he call you?
Jack, man, you're talking about.
Yeah, what did he call you?
A hobe.
A hobe.
Yeah, he said, hobe. He said, hobe of this door. We was up in there a long time, and I've been back in the house, but he was too old to play the last time I was up there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he got his fingers were stiff. He couldn't note the fiddle.
Somebody told me he quit when he got way up there.
Yeah, he just couldn't play. He had to. Mm-hmm. It's like me, he had to quit. I quit on the count I had to. I couldn't do my fingers is too tender. Last time we played was up Surrey's, and Carl took his banjo up there. He thumped around the banjo with his Carl. He's not interested in nothing but work. He ain't interested in hunting or fishing. He don't care a thing about hunting and fishing. He come on and take the pictures of fish first, but he won't go fishing with us. And all he wants to do is to work. And boy, he's the best on anything you ever saw. Look at my old car out there. Keep it fixed up like a new one. Mm-hmm. And he can take an old bent up car. Well, I'm looking to fix up too. And sold him as soon as he got him fixed up. Bond jumped. He bought a Volkswagen Rabbit over there, down in next to Frame down Summers. He's working back there, man. He came in and said, Dad, I have nothing to buy that. Get to that old wrecked car. One of them came in and said, Dad, I had a notion to buy that wrecked car today. He said, I looked at it, and I believe we can fix it up. I said, well, why don't you get a car? You can't lose it. It's awful nice down in on it. I said, we may straighten it up enough so we can get something out of it. It's only a year old. Brand new one. He brung it there. You couldn't see a pin spike on it. It would have been mashed in the red. Top of mashed in on it. I said, now I believe that you can straighten that top up on it. And we've got a jack up there. It's a car jack, and that lever sticks out on it, set a thing on that, put a board on it in that top, and in a minute that just flipped back. I'd take a dyno if you couldn't tell it ever been bent. Then he went in on the sides and the fenders and built them, and when he got it painted, you couldn't tell from a brand new one. He took it out to Clarksburg to a car lot, and told me he had too many cars. Well, he wasn't a line to him. He didn't need it. He won't know if I wanted it. And I said, no, I don't know you for an old Volkswagen Rabbit. Oh, it was beautiful. You know what? You've seen lots of them. And then in the junkyard, or in the car lot, he looked around and looked at it, looked on it, opened the door and looked in it. He said, you see that car been wrecked? Car said, yes, the fender bent up a little. He looked it all over good, and Carl passed it to him. He said, how'd you write your name? Just wrote him a check and gave it to him. Esther took the car over there. There, the car they had out there with him. And Cutsfield woman over here, had a Chevrolet, and she wrecked it, and she totaled it. Well, I don't know, he didn't give much purse. He went over and got it and drug it over here. We tied that tree up over, put boards around that hickory tree, put a chain around it, and he'd gotten that car and he'd back up and jerk it, bent the frame right down, and jerk it. I'd look at the frame and look on the other side, I'd say, I'll be able to give it one more little jerk, car, don't hit hard. He jerked it, and I looked at it, and I said, better measure it up, and you couldn't tell it to save your life on the other side. He measured it up and fixed it. Boy, you just drove like you could take your finger and drive it anywhere. And he had it for sale. He wanted no